I have this book, and you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with theology. It's a book by a golf instructor named Harvey Pinnick. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Harvey. He was a famous golf instructor. He died a few years back. Spent most of his career as a golf instructor or golf pro at the Austin, Texas Country Club. And he also coached golf for the University of Texas. He's a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. In fact, my wife and I, my wife Cindy and I, were fortunate enough to be at the induction ceremony when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame posthumously. Two of his most accomplished students are Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite. If you follow golf at all, you probably know those names. He's written several books. His most famous one is just simply called The Little Red Book. And if you're a serious golfer at all, it's probably part of your library. Cindy gave me a boxed set of his books a few years back. And they're all about this size, you know, Reader's Digest size. And they're all pretty short chapters, usually one or two pages. And they're full of memoirs and little short instructions. So I started reading this one. It's called And If You Play Golf, You're My Friend. And I came across several little quotes of his that I underlined, and I thought, you know, there's a sermon in there one of these days. So I'm just going to kind of relate a few of these to you and then kind of try to tie them into our faith walk. He's got one story about his son-in-law, who was a basketball player at the University of Texas. And he really couldn't care less about golf until he married Harvey's daughter. And then he took up the game, decided he really liked it, and he came to Harvey and said that he wanted some lessons. Well, Harvey told him, you need to play for about 6 months and then come back to me and we'll talk about lessons. So finally they got together, and the son-in-law was inquiring about why he couldn't have gotten a lesson from him sooner. And Harvey explained that the first lesson was the 6 months of futility leading up to that lesson. He said when you're an athlete and you've had success in other sports, that you need to be humbled before you can learn the game of golf properly. And so the little quote that I underlined here was, the student must be ready for the teacher to appear. Now, we all know from trying to teach kids something that there are those kids that are like a sponge. You know, they hang on your every word and they want to learn. And then there are other kids who think they've got it all figured out, and they want to just dive in and do it their way before you can teach them. The ones that are eager to learn are probably the ones that are going to, you know, figure it out first. I think we're kind of guilty of that as adults sometimes. We think there's a better way sometimes to do something instead of the way that we should do it. A good example of that is the way that I drive to work. I've had the same job now for about 6.5 years. And I always get off the freeway for it downtown onto West Temple. And for the first 3 or 4 years, I would go to work down West Temple. I would come home, coming back on West Temple. Well, every night going home, I would stop literally at every corner for a red light. It would take me 10 to 15 minutes just to get out of downtown. but it never occurred to me that there might be a better way. So this is kind of, you know, sometimes as adults, we get in that trap. Well, there is a better way. I, you know, go over one block to State Street, head south, and usually hit all the lights. So, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but Jesus, you know, certainly encountered this in his ministry. The people that were eager to learn from him were kind of the bottom level of society. They were the prostitutes and the tax collectors and, you know, people who really had nothing to lose. They hung on his every word. The people who thought they had it all figured out, the scribes and the Pharisees, and all of those people, they really didn't think they could learn anything from Jesus. They thought they had it all figured out. So I've got a few other stories here I'm going to relate and hopefully try to tie it all together. So there's another story where Harvey Penick was an honorary starter for this women's golf tournament. And he was sitting in his cart, and one of his pupils came over to him to say hi. And he was holding her hand, and he could tell that she was quite nervous about playing. And after a little while, she said, "Well, Harvey, I have to go play now." And he stopped her and said, "Carol, you don't have to go play. You get to go play. There's a lot of difference there." So she said, "You're right. What am I worried about? This is a lot of fun." Well, our attitudes make a lot of difference about everything that we do. Do we get up during the week and say to ourselves, "I have to go to work now," instead of "I get to go to work now"? If you really like what you do, it should be, "I get to go to work now." We can have the same approach when it comes to going to church on Sunday. It shouldn't be a chore. It should be a privilege. Do you realize how many people in the world are persecuted for their religion and they risk their lives to worship? So there was a time in my life where if I'd been up late the night before, or if I just didn't feel like it, I didn't go to church on Sunday. But I realize now what a blessing it is to be able to come here and worship freely. There's another story he tells about, he was talking with a student that was about to graduate, and he was trying to decide what career to go into. And somehow the subject of integrity came into the conversation. And Harvey said that whatever job you choose is not going to bring you integrity. You have to bring integrity with you. Things like honesty and charity and fairness and ingenuity, those are things that you carry with you. The results that are kind of self-centered, like prestige and power and influence and money, you can find those in external things, like a job. Finally, one other thing he talked about is kind of an irony, is that in golf, everyone has strengths and weaknesses, no matter how good or how bad you are. And if you could improve your weaknesses, you would improve your game. But the irony is, a lot of people like to practice their strengths because they like to see results. And when you practice your weaknesses, it sometimes takes a long time to see results. So we do that in life also, I think. We do the stuff that we're good at because it makes us feel good. And we avoid the hard stuff and do the easy stuff. And sometimes we make excuses for that. We say, "I'm not good at that," or "I don't have the time for that," or something like that. One of the weaknesses that we all have is our faith. No matter how faithful we are, we always have a weakness, and it can be improved on. So the point of all of these stories really kind of gets back to the title of the message, Keeping It Simple. When you hear something with a lot of wisdom in it, it usually doesn't take a lot of words to get it across. It's usually pretty easy to understand. You know instinctively when something makes sense, if it fits in with your value system. And your value system is largely formed by the lessons in the Bible. If you grew up in a Christian family, the lessons that your parents taught you were largely based on what's in the Bible. I kind of skipped over our scripture lesson today. I'm going to read that now. It's from Isaiah chapter 30, verses 19 to 21. And it's up there, so why don't we just read that together? People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." This kind of ties back to that first story where he was saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. In Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is an example of one of the simple things in the Bible. Another one is Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. So that's not to say that there aren't a lot of passages in the Bible that are hard to understand. There are. And sometimes we look for answers to questions that aren't even there. The passages that aren't so easy to understand are good discussion material for Bible studies. That's where we take that foundation of our faith and we grow on it. But when we want to get back to the basics, the easy stuff usually tells us all that we need to know. Now, a long time ago, someone told me that as Christians, we really need to agree on just a few things: that we're all sinners, that our sins separate us from God, and that Jesus died to pay the price for our sins so that we could be brought back into a relationship with God. And if we believe in Him, then our relationship with God is made whole. The rest of what we believe is somewhat negotiable. And that's one thing I like about the Methodist Church, is that we're all pretty much free to come to God in our own way. I think John 3:16, you know, the most well-known verse in the Bible probably, sums up the core of our belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus, when he spoke to us, spoke to us in simple ways for the most part. And when he didn't, he had a parable to go along with it to interpret it for us. But then he gave us the great commandment also, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It really doesn't get much simpler than that. To me, this more than anything kind of sums up the whole message in the gospel, that God is love, that we're to love each other and to love God. If we live guided by the Spirit and we do everything out of love, then we don't have to memorize a bunch of laws. We'll just instinctively know what the right thing is to do. One of those things that's maybe a little complicated, and I don't know if any of us really has an answer to, I struggle with sometimes if a person has lived in a part of the world where they've never heard the gospel, and they die never having known Jesus Christ, some fundamentalists would say that they're doomed. And I have a hard time with that. So I don't know the answer to that. That's just one of those things that I have to say I don't know. But there's this terminology that's used by accountants and the IRS, and it may be used in some other businesses as well. It's called a safe harbor. And it basically what it means is if you're in a situation where something bad might normally happen, like a penalty, but if you've met certain criteria or done certain things, then you're off the hook. You have a safe harbor. And to me, Jesus Christ is kind of like the safe harbor. I don't know if I don't believe in Jesus Christ, if there are other ways to get to heaven. I just know that if I do, I've met the safe harbor, that'll get me there. I had some other quotes here from other people well known that have a lot of wisdom in them, but they're very simple. And I found these on a website called brainyquotes.com, and if, I don't know if any of you have gone there. I think, Mitch, you had something on your Facebook today from Brainy Quotes. Just about any famous person that you can think of in history, you can type their name in, and it'll bring up quotes from them. Or if you think of a quote that you can't remember all of it, but maybe you can remember part of it, or maybe you can't remember who said it, you know, you can figure that all out there. Here's some quotes from Nelson Mandela. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Another one, if you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Then he becomes your partner. And if you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head. If you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart. And then a few quotes from Mahatma Gandhi. Now this one, I think Gandhi was Hindu, but I'm not 100% sure of that. I'm just guessing because he was from India and that's the predominant religion there. He probably was. But this really sounds like he's talking about Jesus. He said, a man who was completely innocent offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom of the world. It was a perfect act. And another one, a religion that takes no account of the practical affairs and does not help to solve them is no religion. In other words, a religion where you just go and you worship and you don't do anything to make change in the world, what good is it? And then another one, always aim at complete harmony of thought and word and deed. Always aim at purifying your thoughts and everything will be well. So, most of the good ideas, most of the wisdom, the thoughts that make a lot of sense, you don't have to have a lot of words to express them. These are some very simple, easy to understand thoughts from some very wise men. I go back to Harvey Peanut, the golf teacher. He's revered as one of the great teachers in the game. And golf can be if you've ever played golf, you know, it can be a very frustrating, complicated game. But he understood that it's about a 90% mental game and about a 10% physical game. And so what he taught people wasn't overly technical or hard to understand. He just tried to keep it simple, and he didn't spend a lot of time working on the physical stuff. We often make a lot more out of Christianity than we need to, and it's really pretty straightforward. And while we can each come to know God in our own way, we still have to adhere to the basic truth of it. There's some things that are mysteries, things that we'll never know the answer to until we see Jesus face to face. And then hopefully at that point in time, all those mysteries of the universe will be unlocked for us. I can't wait for that day. But in the meantime, we all kind of have our own beliefs that we kind of adhere to. But we have to make sure that the message that we tell others is based on that simple truth, the foundation of our faith. And then let those people come to experience God in their own way. Amen.